Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers in studio and just thrilled as can be to be visiting with State Representative Kelly Kiesling. And good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Ben.
Thank you for being here twice in 1 week for me to get to see and visit with you. And I do want to talk about that first visit, but just thankful. I know your schedule's crazy. You got had a full week, and you've got a lot going on. Just thank you for taking time to be here at StoneCom and visit with us and talking with the people of the Upper Cumberland. And because you represent the people of the Upper Cumberland, and we're going to talk about the people you represent. But I do want to start, Kelly, with I believe it was Tuesday in Fentress County. And that is your area. Where is your line at in Fentress County?
Actually, the separation or the line is Highway 52 east west across Fentress, and everything north, all the properties north of that line is part of the House District 38. South Grimsley Clark Range area would be House District 41. Which would be Representative John Mark Wendell. But technically, we were in Representative Wendell's district, and he's been a part of these discussions. But again, I'll let you intro that.
Well, sure. And of course, District 38 is who you serve. But, you know, I was going to get to this later, but I'm going to say it now. You serve a district, and we'll talk about that area, but you actually serve the whole of the Upper Cumberland. I've seen you work. You serve the whole state, but I've seen you work in all areas of the Upper Cumberland ever since you came into office. So I'm going to brag on you. I'm about to brag on you some more. So you and I got a phone call for the same reason, and not to get into just great detail because we don't know how it's going to go forward, but Highway Superintendent there, Ryan Reed, County Executive Jimmy Johnson, reached out to us and the Tennessee County Highway Official Association, Brett Howe, and talked about trying to mitigate a problem with the road washing away. It's a state aid road, and you are heavily involved when it comes to infrastructure in your area, and that includes roads. And this road is a state aid road. It connects, I believe, 52, which you said, and 127. That's right. Glen Obie Road. So long story short, rain comes. When you're going down the mountain there, it washes out, and it's kind of dangerous. Kelly, in your words, what's the problem? What's the issue they're wanting us to help with?
Well, in part, you have you started to describe the issue, and it is. It's a very hilly area of the county, and we do have, when torrential rains come, it creates a large creek, if you will, almost river, and to describe a better description of it. But this has been ongoing now. I think, Ben, Mr. Reed told us now for, 20, 30 years, they've been doing patchwork, and it's time. That patchwork, it's time for that to stop, and let's get serious with this. So what we did is to tell your listening audience here, we sat down and we made a contact from Mr. Reed's office there at the Highway Department on Tuesday, and we made a direct contact with TDEC, which would be the Department of Environment and Conservation, to address this this creek and how it's affecting that alongside the road there. So we've already had, unfortunately, not too in the distant past, a couple of fatalities there on that hill, and it's just something that we have just absolutely got to address, and that takes us on into throughout counties, throughout Upper Cumberland, for that matter, throughout the state, our highway departments. They are starving to death, folks, for to continue maintaining these our county highway county highways. So I think we're going to sit in, and I think we're going to begin some dialogue this next session with your assistance, Ben, as well as Brett House, our executive director over the Tennessee Highway Association.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to get some serious with folks with on the budget committee down there, those that wind up on that, and we're going to have to get some funding to our counties, but more, in particular our rural counties, and those are the ones that you – your folks on a daily basis.
Yeah, and you're right. Infrastructure for counties is huge for all departments. And when you bring in EMS and sheriff's office and fire and rescue squad, if they don't have roads to travel on and they have dangerous roads they got to get to, and it makes it harder on them to serve the public. And so we're hoping, and as you said, it's a partnership and it's teamwork to hopefully find a way to help these highway departments out. You're very familiar with county government. You were county executive in Pickett County in the 90s. You know how highway departments work. You know the role of a highway department. And to me, Kelly, that's why it's vital for someone like you to be in the position you are. You understand local government, and you understand it just as good as anybody on the legislature floor, because you've had that experience.
Well, thank you very much. And it is. It's something that we, you know, you struggle with daily when you're sitting in that seat. You know, you're trying to balance the flow of the limited funds that you do have coming in, particularly where the county is, as that I served in Pickett County, which continues to be my home county, I might add. But that does take us to my next point, if you will, or bullet point, where we do represent the five county area right along the Kentucky border. We begin all the way west at Westmoreland. And Westmoreland, they're right there at the city limits, that's the Sumner-Macon County line. And we continue eastward along the Kentucky border all the way to the Campbell-Scott County line, which is not far from I-75. So it's a stretch, but and more so, it's a real challenge at times when you're when time is of the essence and you're trying your best to make as many meetings as you can across the district. And but anyway, it's a real challenge. When session begins, or actually following Election Day, we're going to suddenly have a house district of just under, I think, 70,000. You may need to correct me on that, but I believe that's going to be the new district number, and that applies to all of our districts across the state. In our case, we have five counties: Clay, Macon, Pickett, Scott, and again, as we've described, the upper half of Fentress. So with that comes, of course, five county commissions, seven school boards, nine city councils, a couple of time zones.
Yeah.
Which really.
Yes. So you've got to have some staff. And not that you can't handle it yourself, but you got to have a pretty good staff to keep you straight, right, Kelly?
Oh, thank you. But it is. Yeah, I know. And I appreciate that. A couple of congressional districts that we serve Congressman Rose and as well as. Fleshman. Sorry.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chuck Fleshman, great guy. And then two senators, state senators, I might add, Pody and Yeager.
So when they did redistricting, Kelly, last year, did you lose a county that you had served previously?
Thank you for asking. No, fortunately not. And although we were expecting to have to probably pick up a census block, two or three census blocks of another county, that didn't occur because of the growth that actually Macon County, mm-hmm. Lafayette, Redbone and Springs, Macon County had. It's just amazing that the growth that they've incurred. So with that offset having to look for that sixth county for us. So anyway, it's about a 3-hour, just right around a 3-hour ride across the district, which I think there's only one other district that's a little bit larger than us, but we're the only one with a five county or part of a five county presence. I might add, we're served by four electric cooperatives. I think we're the only house district served by that, and then three telephone cooperatives. But boy, one thing about our telephone cooperatives, we're just so appreciative of the service that we have been. I think we're one of only two or three right presently in the state that is that we have the full what do they call that, the internet, the I'm lost.
Broadband.
Yes. Excuse me. Yeah. And boy, we're fortunate.
Yeah, and so and you, I don't know how in the world you cover that much ground. I know how you do it. You're a phenomenal public servant, but it's a big territory as far as land goes. 3 hours, you said, from end to end. So many districts or so many commissions, school boards, and you mentioned utility districts, and that. And the reason I know why you mentioned it, and maybe some people don't. Why is that important? Well, they need you too. You know, you're a state representative. You work with more than just local government. You work with all aspects of the state, and I'm going to brag on you again, and this reason I'm going to brag on you, because you have that all that going on. But like on Tuesday, when you first walked into the highway department and you sat down, you were aware of kind of what the issue was, but you wanted the details. As soon as you got the details and you understood there was a need, you made a phone call to the State Department. They answered. They stepped out of a meeting to answer you because they know you're calling for an important reason. And you started – your response was not this. Well, state government moves at a slow pace. It's going to be a while. Instead of you responding that way, you said, well, I'm just going to make a phone call right now. I even offered to help you call somebody. And you're like, no, Ben, I got it. So you got the ball rolling on Tuesday. We're already seeing some progress. They've already got a meeting scheduled, I believe, next week, which I cannot attend because I'll be out of town. But I'm just going to brag on you because we're wrapping up this segment. I just want to brag on you right quick. You got the ball rolling. State government does not always move at a slow pace.
No.
And it takes people like you to make it happen fast. So, folks, Kelly Keesland's with me in studio. He's a state representative, House District 38, just went through his territory. We got so much more with him coming back after this break here on Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers in studio with State Representative Kelly Keesling from House District 38. He covered his territory just a minute ago. Five counties, and that's county commissions and school boards, utility districts. He's spread across two time zones. And serving two congressmen and two state senators. So he's got a lot of people calling him for needs. But one thing I like, Kelly, about you is you're very transparent. You don't have anything to hide, and you like to inform people, and I like that. And so a lot of people, some people may not understand the work state representatives and senators do, but they think they may have a misunderstanding that you're getting – rich, you're a millionaire for being a state representative. Can you disclose what the salary is for a state representative?
Thank you for asking, Mr. Rogers. I Welcome. Appreciate that. I will be glad to do that. The current salary for either a House member or a Senate member in this state is $24,300. Now, I might add that during the times that we're there in session, and that primarily it begins in January and pretty much concludes by the end of April, but we're there throughout the week. We're there 4 days a week, go in on in the afternoons on Mondays, and then we'll conclude on Thursdays by noon normally. So anyway, we're down there 4 days a week, and we have to do overnights. And folks, if any of you are, and I'm sure plenty of you all who are listening right now have spent or had to pay for an overnight in Nashville at one of the hotels, and it is not cheap.
No.
So it's a shuffle of trying to get that. Our daily per diem, as it says, $313. And again, but again, that's the daily during the week that we're, or during the days that we're there. Mileage? Well, mileage, we do not get paid any mileage whatsoever traveling to or from our meetings, from home to our meetings now, even during session. Now, they do pay us mileage to and from our homes to Nashville and then back. But just to give you an idea, I know I'm already right now through, soon be through October. When I last looked, Ben, I'm already up to, I think, 22,000 miles this year. So
wow.
that came, you know, off the hip.
Wow, that's a lot of driving. So you mentioned hotel rates in Nashville, which I do a lot of meetings down there. The state government rate currently in October is $230. That's before taxes. So when you get a $313 per diem, you ain't got much to eat on after that, Kelly.
As I say, it's a real challenge.
It can be, but and of course you're spending a lot of time in your district because you know you've got meetings. You're here with me this morning. Last night you were in Roane County for a meeting, and you were in Fentress County Tuesday. I have no idea what you did Wednesday and Monday, but I know that you and your chief of staff, Mr. Todd, was with you Tuesday, and he said you're jam packed, and because you're constantly working for your constituents, and you've got a lot going on in your district.
Well, thank you. We do, and we just this may surprise many. We're concluding our 12th year, not term, but 12th year, and six terms this time, and fortunately. For us, we didn't have neither a primary challenger nor general challenger this time. So anyway, this is only the second time that's occurred. But our executive assistants, of course, primarily come to me through our clerk's office. We have just brought on a new executive assistant, Todd Benny. Todd, he's very much. He's got a lot of promise to him here, and I think he's going to serve our constituents very well. He's already got a year's experience with him, or behind him with Representative Ogle's office. Mike, our former assistant, has moved on up. He's taken a position with one of our committees there. So good for Mike. But you know, Todd makes number 8. When they come on board into our office, I don't know, Ben, if we work them to death and they just get tired, or if they see possibility and potential for them in other places. So, but anyway, we've been very fortunate. Our constituents have been fortunate to have had some great executive assistants across the board. When we return, I can get into telling our folks a little bit about the committees and that we serve and other things there in Nashville.
We definitely want to talk about that next segment, Kelly. And before we leave, though, I do want to. You mentioned Mike, who was your former, who went to a committee. What does that mean? Mike's now a full-time employee for a certain committee in the legislature?
Research committee, yes, right. He will serve in capacity of a research analyst and, of course, just what it says for the committee. And I think it'll be the local government committee.
Okay.
That he'll be serving.
And that's, of course, near and dear to your heart. And we are going to talk about your chairmanship of the state government committee next segment, but other committees you serve on. But I just want you've brought out some good points, Kelly. You know, session starts, as you said, in January. It concludes sometimes April, sometimes May. I don't know. What's the latest session you remember in your 12 years you adjourning? Did you ever go to June?
No, I have not, but it was, I think, a mid-May date.
Now, when I started CTAS back in 05, 06, 07, I remember June. I can't remember why they met so late. I don't know if it's when they changed the Constitution for the income tax, or I don't remember the issue, but they met until the first or second week of June, and that was unprecedented. So you can only meet so many days every 2 years, and so that caused them to shorten up session, I guess, early April of next year. Mm-hmm. Correct. So that's, I think it's just facts. What I was going to say is people just think y'all work from January to April. I can tell you, folks, the state senator, Paul Bailey, has been on here. And, of course, this is Representative Keithling's second time on my show, which I need to have him on more often. I've had Speaker Sexton on. And so all those folks, I can tell you, are working outside of the months of that they're in session because there are committee meetings going on. I mean, y'all have committee meetings all throughout the year, I guess, don't you?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And as chair, and we're going to talk about that, how that works. But always talking to constituents and always trying to get phone calls. I'm guessing, before we break, what is the most often request, topic-wise, that you get, Kelly?
Unemployment.
And that has that been that way for 12 years?
Pretty much, yeah.
And so right now the problem is we got jobs, but we don't have people working.
Exactly.
And so I don't know, other than changing a couple things maybe about unemployment compensation, I don't know how that changes. But Tennessee does have jobs available. And y'all, as a legislature, that's been a big part of your agenda is economic development, tourism, providing jobs, bringing in people to see the state parks, and you're surrounded by state parks where you're from and all that. But you are I love asking that question because unemployment is very common. Folks, we've got a little bit more time with State Representative Kelly Keithling, House District 38. He has served 12 years. He is unopposed. He said that. You said that was the second time, right?
Yes. Seven.
Unopposed and with primary. That makes your life easier, I know. You don't have to spend time campaigning. You can spend time working.
Exactly.
And so he is unopposed. But we've got one more segment with him when we come back in just a moment. Here on Local Matters, this is Ben Rogers again with State Representative Kelly Keithling. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with State Representative Kelly Keithling. He serves House District 38 and has been doing so for 12 years. Hometown is Pickett County, Byrdstown, was former county executive there, so very familiar with local government. Kelly, we're talking as we close this last segment about committees. And I love – so, of course, I'm a county commissioner, and people that listen know that. I love the committee structure. I love it on the state level. That is where – the work's done, right?
It's where the rubber meets the road. And I'm so appreciative of our county. You guys don't get enough recognition or enough thank yous. And listen, I mean that from the bottom of my heart because I know firsthand you don't. And it is. You guys are there where the rubber meets the road. There's a lot of so many things that come in front of you that takes research and really through God's blessing wisdom to analyze each and every one, but it's tough, and I just can't say, as I say, I don't want to sound redundant, but I can't say how much I appreciate you all.
I appreciate that. I think commissioners do work hard, especially those that have a servant's heart and the mind to want to do different. But so you are a chairman of a very important committee at the legislature, and it is the State Government Committee. So you, how long have you been chairman of that committee?
We have been, this will make our, we've concluded fourth. We don't know. That's another thing that the speaker, that's his responsibility when we begin session again. He will appoint the committees, and of course, my hope is that I would have an opportunity to be considered to return to the chairmanship of the State Gov Committee. But anyway, that committee is served by four subcommittees. They are public service and employees, departments and agencies, and corrections. So all, you know, anything that comes through legislatively, language that comes through those subcommittees are dealing with those committees, subject matter, has to finally pass through the State Gov Committee. Some don't make it, but some, most do. I mean, most are logical stuff. But in addition to that, I serve as vice chairman of the Physical Review Committee and calendar and rules, as well as transportation. In the past, I have served on infrastructure as well as the ag committees, but I do enjoy this physical review is quite interesting. It's been that's been a new one on me. I'm concluding my second year as that or in that position, so it's been it's been pretty interesting. And speaking of, if I may remain on that subject, I was just speaking with the treasurer earlier this morning or his office. Folks, I can pass along some encouraging news to you. As we go a year ago, now we're still, our revenues are holding strong. It's just amazing how God is blessing this state when it comes to revenues. We've dropped some, but we're still, I think the latest number was 100, we're still on 130 million last month, above.
Wow.
A year ago. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is, I didn't know that.
That's, oh, yeah.
Great information to know.
Continued to hold that AAA bond rating, and I think there's only 13 states out of the 50 that, you know, that has that. We have no, remember, folks, no, you don't have to pay an income tax here as long as you reside here. And, of course, we're a right-to-work state, and that's coming up, by the way. We've got the four amendments. Don't please, everyone, vote for those four amendments. I encourage you to vote yes on all of them. I'm going to plug that, but do not pass those by.
Well, I'm glad you say that. Don't pass them by, because a lot of people don't understand them or don't take that. There's just a lot of language there. And the reason there's language there is to let you know what it is, what it currently says, right, and then what the amendment is.
Exactly. And, you know, please go to my Facebook. Please do. And I have posted a thorough explanation for all four. Take five, as we say. Take five, pull that up, and get in there before you all go to vote and pull that up. It's very, I think, well explained. Not that I did it, but, you know, that I played off of another colleague, and so I want the folks to take an opportunity. Really, it's very important.
Very important to vote, and then very important to look at what you're voting on. I want to ask you something, Kelly. On those subcommittees, you said corrections comes through your state government committee.
Yes.
So is corrections your biggest? Out of those subcommittees that come to state government committee, is that the busiest one?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Because counties are always looking to y'all to help out with.
That's right.
Yeah, and, of course, the state has their own Department of Corrections, and so they're looking for the General Assembly to help out with. And so I'll ask you this, too. The last couple of years, the Department of Corrections has boosted up their beginning pay for corrections officers and added in bonuses. Does that something that comes through y'all that you're aware of as the chairman of the state government committee?
It is. It's a subject that comes up, and you can't travel far through the Upper Cumberland, for that matter, across the state, without seeing billboards. I tell you, they got some pretty decent salaries coming along now, and we're going to have to. We've got revenues now. I hope we can bump that up much more, as a matter of fact, because those people earn it. Our turnover rate, to be perfectly honest with you, it isn't the best at any of our locations.
Right.
You know, and of course, our closest one is Morgan Correctional from here.
Yeah.
From where we're sitting here at the ranch at Stonecomb.
Yeah. And so, and I'll add something else, and you and I haven't talked about this, but we can briefly mention it and move on. But at the Tennessee County Services meeting a couple weeks ago, the state had some folks there talking about the funds that y'all put into place at the urging of the governor for programs for inmates to reduce recidivism at the local level. Of course, the state already has those. The State Department of Corrections and at their state prisons already has those programs. Now the state is offering funding to counties to incorporate those programs. Counties may be looking at some of the state employees that are used to doing those programs and bringing them to the county. So you may be, you know, turnover may change because of that. Of course, I think helping recidivism is always a good cause to try to keep people out of jail and get rehabilitated and get back to the community and to get back. But, you know, employment. You said unemployment was your biggest thing. Especially in county government and corrections, it is and emergency services.
Emergency services.
It is huge.
I mean, anywhere I go across our five, our house district, our EMS, we have so much turnover. in there, and of course it's the more the larger communities that are recruiting, if you will, our folks away from you know, the more rural areas, and just like Coogan, I'm not throwing stones, you know, poor old Randy Porter, our friend.
He's a good one, but you know, and I don't care to tell you, our EMS in Putnam County has had trouble keeping people because they're going other places to make just as much money, but less calls. It's less work.
That's right.
So we're trying as a county commission to try to help with that by offering more money and keeping people here. But I will say that you have been a part of, along with the Upper Cumberland mayors, you have been a big part, and your counterparts, and John Mark and Ryan and Paul and Ken Yeager and those folks of revamping EMS to help that problem. And y'all have made that initiative, and I'm very proud of that because it's very important.
Well, thank you very much, Ben, and it is. It's very important. I might add, speaking of unemployment, let me bounce over to the average right now across House District 38. Again, the five counties, 3.8. Not bad.
Not bad.
We have 3.8 unemployment rate. But again, folks like Baby Nove, those of you in Macon County and Sumner County know that name, Clay, as well. That's a brand new industry that's come in there into the Red Boiling Springs area, and you know, a huge investment, almost 45 mil in a outfitting the former water plant there, Nestle plant. But we're talking about around 150 jobs. Not there yet, but they're slowly progressing to reach that number. But we're excited again for them as they come on board. You know, but anyway, our Upper Cumberland is first of all, we just outshine the rest of the state, in my opinion, when it comes to beauty. But we've just got some folks, great folks, that are administrators across all of our 13 county areas. I know you, Ben, play a major role, and I want to take this opportunity while I got you cornered to express again my sincere appreciation to you for your service with CTAS. Those of you that don't recognize that acronym, the County Technical Assistance Service through our University of Tennessee. Go Big Orange. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you
for your service.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate those kind words, especially coming from you, because that means a lot. I've had the chance to work with you now for 12 years and gotten to know you and respect you. But I respect you because, I respect you anyway, but you worked with my uncle. I'm always very sentimental about him, and he helped you as the county executive. I wish he could have helped you as a new state representative. Unfortunately, he wasn't here, and I was here. So I'm sorry. I wish he could have been there with you because I know that he would have been a good help. But I appreciate those kind words. Our agency does take pride in helping county government and helping our legislators. That's part of our mission,
absolutely,
to help you all, too, whatever you need. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Kelly, thank you for being on. You are a wonderful man and wonderful servant. It's funny. You're a family man. You showed up just about 5 minutes late to Fincher's County today, but you showed up late for a good reason. You were doing a respecting the wishes of your wife to go do something for her in Jamestown.
Yes.
And you come in and said, folks, I had to take care of my wife. And we, of course, everybody there understood that. But thank you for what you did. Good luck this next session.
Thank you very much. We're looking forward to it. You know, we've still got a lot on the plate between now and then, but as we get closer to the holiday season, Christmas, we're going to be meeting more and more and more. But I want to, as we close, to all, because I'm sure I won't be back here between now and New Year's, but again, my best to all for a blessed Thanksgiving, a Merry Christmas, and a wonderful New Year to all. Safe travels.
Thank you, Kelly. I do want to have you back after session's over with, so let's do something this spring, okay?
Got it. Thumbs
folks,
up.
Folks, hope you enjoyed this. I've enjoyed it. Representative Kelly Kiesling, House District 38. What a wonderful man. Great public servant. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Remember to smile at somebody. It's a lot easier to smile than it is to frown, folks. Have a great day, and see you next week.